Well, that's it for Information Desk this week. Our next batch of news is broadly centred on the themes of training and accommodation. We have a plea for more people to be trained in helping those with learning disabilities, news of a training college for the construction industry closing down, a sheltered housing community fearing a new housing development, and a report claiming that extra accommodation for nearly 1,700 students is required. We also hear of a local Steiner school being rated good.
Kirsty Henry, a learning disability nurse and course director at the University of East Anglia, called the future of care for people with learning disabilities into question amid the revelations over abuse at care home Walton Hall in County Durham. The BBC's undercover filming appeared to show patients at Walton Hall being taunted and intimidated, and Mrs. Henry said that this left her devastated. Also, because there were many nurses retiring and the reducing popularity of people training for the role, that we are facing a truly disastrous situation, which could really affect the care of vulnerable people across the UK. Mrs. Henry said, people with learning disabilities are already dying from preventable conditions due to inadequate care, and I fear that a shortage of people trained to provide proper care will lead to more deaths. Recent figures showed that women with learning disabilities die 27 years earlier and men 23 years earlier when compared to the general population. Mrs. Henry added, with the recent shocking report by Panorama, it's imperative that people with the skills and training are encouraged into the profession. Many universities have scrapped their courses altogether as they just aren't receiving enough applications to study. But we continue to run our course, and our staff are working really hard to sing from the rooftops about how rewarding it is to work with people with disabilities. Mrs. Henry said learning disability nurses worked in different ways to other nurses. They were holistic and focused on individual people. We work from the individual up, she said. In standard care, it's getting more and more a situation where there are only one or two options and you go with it, or you don't have any other option. Learning disability nurses would look at all the options available to somebody. She said without keeping the workforce topped up, more people with learning disabilities would be shut away in care homes, potentially open to abuse.
The full extent of the debt a Norwich college left behind following its collapse has been revealed. Construction training specialists buckled last month, owing more than £266,000, just 8 months after being handed £487,000 in public cash. The figures were revealed as CTS filed for liquidation with administrators RSM Restructuring Advisory. The college owed thousands to various Norfolk businesses, including just over £1,000 to Wyndham-based Britannia Safety and Fire Training and £5,600 to Norwich's MKM Building Supplies. It's owned by Peterborough Regional College, to which it owed the largest amount, in excess of £105,000. It also owed £54,570 to Lloyds Bank and £2,500 to Broadland District Council. Former students reported cash-strapped conditions at the college just before it closed. Daniel Kett, who had paid an £1,800 deposit for his Level 2 plumbing course, said he ended up buying his own tools because the equipment at the college was so bad. We had to just share batteries for the drills, and I decided it'd be easier to get my own, said 48-year-old Mr. Kett. He added he was never told by CTS that it was closing and learned of the shutdown via this newspaper. We won't get a penny back, I'm sure, he said. It's just devastating. Mr. Kett also claimed new students were starting courses shortly before the college closed. Mr. Kett is now hoping to finish his qualification with City College Norwich. It's just a shame that we have to pay twice for the same thing, he said. Some debts, such as that owed to staff and trade creditors, could be repaid out of the pool of the firm's assets. In its report, CTS has said that its preferential creditors, the ones which have the right to payment, are trade creditors and staff. CTS assets, which will include its property in Helsden Park Road, Norwich, total approximately £85,500.
Residents in the 36-bungalow Norwich City Council-owned Ryrie Court in Eton had wanted City Hall's planning committee to turn down the application for 5 two-story houses nearby. 4 of those homes would be reached via the Ryrie Court, access road and car park. The 5th would be reached via Eton Chase. People in Ryrie Court said it could make the car park area, also owned by the City Council, dangerously busy. Given they have regular visits from carers, health professionals and ambulances, they feared their 9 spaces could be used by visitors to the new homes. They also feared they would be unable to reach Pettus Road bus stop during construction. But the committee voted by 8 votes for to 3 against to grant permission for the scheme. Planning Officer Mark Brown had said more parking than the City Council would usually permit had been allowed for the new homes to ensure parking in Ryrie Court would not be affected. He said traffic movement would be minimal and largely insignificant. There was anger among objectors when the committee was told applicant Battersea-based Gavin Phillips had already obtained a legal right-of-way to use the council's car park to get to the new homes, and Sheila Cleeton, who used to be the city council's warden for Ryrie Court and lives there, told the council committee, "It's a disgrace. I ask you, why are you making it unsafe with these homes being allowed to use Ryrie Court car park as a through road for private developers?" The applicant's agent, Everett Amador, said that they had shown sensitivity to comments from the community during the process. The committee did agree, after a recommendation from Labour's Ian Stirtley, a condition that construction traffic should access the site via Eton Chase rather than Ryrie Court. But afterwards, Ryrie Court resident Joy Hobbs said permission should never have been granted, and Judith Lubbock, Liberal Democrat City Councillor for Eton, said, "I feel the City Council has let down vulnerable and elderly tenants."
The rising number of university students studying in Norwich means that there needs to be almost 1,700 more places for them to live built over the next decade. That's according to Norwich City Council officers, who are grappling with the issue amid a surge in buildings in the city centre being turned into student accommodation. A number of applications for new student accommodation, such as near the Premier Inn in Duke Street and the conversion of St Crispin's House nearby, have seen the City Council criticised for not having an overall assessment of how much student accommodation is required. City Hall officers have been working on such an assessment and to come up with some guidelines for best practice. The University of East Anglia is projecting an increase of 4,805 students by 2036. That's an increase of 22%, from 17,195 to 22,000. While the Norwich University of the Arts predicts its numbers will increase from 2,215 to 2,600, 10 years from now. Not all those students are full-time, and not all require accommodation, but City Council officers estimate that there'll be a need for 1,300 more bed spaces for them within 5 years, and 1,700 by 2029. There are currently 5,145 purpose-built student accommodation bed spaces in the city and around 2,295 units in the planning pipeline. Just over 1,000 are under construction and 1,000 more have planning permission, while the other 149 are pending a decision. In the report, City Hall officers state, "By encouraging good quality and appropriate student accommodation in Norwich, the council will help support the continuing success of the city's higher educational institutions and increase retention of graduates in Norwich, thereby boosting the city's reputation and economic prospects." The document will come before the City Council's Sustainable Development Panel next week. If members agree, it will then go out for public consultation before the Cabinet decides whether to adopt it.
An independent school, whose parent organisation has been hauled over the coals for poor standards, has received a good rating in its first Ofsted inspection in a decade. Following their visit to the Norwich Steiner School in May, inspectors said the school's leaders knew the quality of its provision well, including areas where improvements could be made, and that teachers had high expectations and strong subject knowledge. The school has around 100 pupils, aged 3 to 19, and charges annual fees of about £7,240, according to Ofsted. Inspectors said leaders at the school adapted the education provided to meet pupils' needs, blending the school's educational philosophy of holistic learning with wider educational demands. The report said pupils are included in the decisions about their education. Their views are listened to and acted upon. This is democracy in action. The inspection team praised its work with pupils with special educational needs and disabilities, saying tailored support helped them to overcome barriers and make good progress. Pupils were said to show a good attitude to learning and were described as articulate, good-humoured and cooperative. Steiner schools base their curriculum around the teachings of Rudolf Steiner, encouraging pupils to be creative and free-spirited. But in January, Ofsted's chief inspector, Amanda Spielman, called for a thorough examination of the deeply concerning failures at Steiner schools around the country, after snap inspections rated 6 as inadequate and 3 as requires improvement. The schools were previously inspected by independent organisation, the School Inspection Service, which has since shut down. The Norwich Steiner School was last inspected by Ofsted in 2006, when it was judged to be good. Its last SIS inspection in 2017 rated the school as good overall, with outstanding elements in pupils' personal development. The school in Hospital Lane said the Steiner Waldorf curriculum encouraged an enjoyment of learning and that an absence of tests until the final 3 years of school allows for an extended childhood in which children can develop confidence and self-esteem.